I love singing the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus because there is no other name that holds all that Jesus is. And it is the most precious name ever spoken, ever thought about. Nobody's named anything greater than Jesus. And it is very precious to me, probably like it's precious to you. But it wasn't always precious to me, unfortunately, because I didn't grow up knowing Jesus. I didn't even grow up hearing much about him at all. I never thought about him. The only time I kind of thought about him was when I was at my friend's house, and he was on a cross on their wall. And I didn't really even know what that meant. I did know that they were Catholic, and so that was for Catholics kind of thing. But I didn't know Jesus. I really didn't even know he was associated with God. That's how ignorant I was. I knew that there was a God, and God created everything, and that you're supposed to pray to God, which I did. I prayed to God. I didn't know him, but I had a need to pray, and I did pray. But unfortunately, sadly, horribly, I used God's name in vain all the time as a teenager. All the time. Oh God this, oh God that. Very common. And around the people that I was around, because I didn't know any Christians, everybody said, oh God. They still do today. But whenever I would hear somebody say the name of Jesus, I would remember being very uncomfortable with that. It was like, that's wrong. I didn't know why. There was just something about it. So if I heard his name, and his name, of course, was always associated with cursing, with somebody saying something that, you know, or God's name also with cursing. But when I became a Christian, I learned that we are not to take the Lord's name in vain. Now, I did not know the Ten Commandments. I knew of the Ten Commandments, but I didn't know anything about them, what they were about or whatever, but I saw a movie. My mom did take us to see that whatever movie was back then in the 60s, that big, I don't know what it was called, but you know, it started from Genesis and went all the way through. So obviously that got in there somewhere. But when I learned about the Ten Commandments, and I thought, oh God, I'm not supposed to take your name in vain, emptily, just in a frivolous way. Wow. Now, that was a hard habit to break, but I did break it. And immediately, the name of Jesus became very precious to me. It was like if I ever heard anybody, I just cringe. Or even when people would say, oh God, I would cringe. It was like, don't talk about my God, my Savior, my Lord that way. It just caused a reaction in me. And of course, to this day, like you, we dislike that. We don't dislike the person necessarily, but we don't like the name of Jesus and the name of God being used that way. It makes us cringe, and it should. I especially dislike when I hear Christians use the Lord's name in vain, and they do. It's really sad. It's bad. They shouldn't. And I don't think they're aware of it. There have been times where I wanted to make them aware of it. Do you realize that you just said, oh God, like the heathen say, oh God? I also really dislike the whole OMG thing. When that started coming out, and I guess that maybe came out with texting because they shorten everything and you don't know what all these letters mean, kind of a thing, but the OMG, because people always say, oh my God, and now they got to shorten it. And then when Christians just do that, do we think we're saying, oh my gosh? Now, you might be saying that, but we don't know that. Because the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is, oh my God. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we thinking? And just me saying that, you might think, well, but gee, you're being very harsh or very judgmental or very legalistic or whatever it might be. But I don't think I am, because I don't think God likes it. I don't think he likes his name being used that way or abbreviated that way. I really don't. And I'm not saying any of you do that. It tends to be in the younger crowd. Maybe not, I don't know. But God's name is holy. He is a holy God. And his name, God, Jesus, Lord, Christ, whatever other word people use in a cursing way or a derogatory way, they're holy names. They're to be feared and reverenced and honored. I mean, that is my God who sent his son, my Jesus, to go to the cross for my sin. He saved me. He saved you. And we want to protect that name and cherish that name. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, please, verse 9. I love all of Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 9. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one day, every single person, whoever was and who will be in this world, who has used God's name in vain or Jesus' name in vain, one day their knee is going to bow and they're going to say it in the right way, with trembling, with fear and trembling. And what a privilege that we have, that we get to bow our knee now and we get to say the name of Jesus in a holy, in a God-fearing, an honoring way and a loving way when we call out to Jesus. But God has given him the name above every name. There is power in the name of Jesus because of who he is. Now, the name of Jesus, the name above all names, is a huge topic, and you could go in all kinds of directions with a message like this. You know, you could talk about the fact that Jesus said, in my name, you can cast out demons. In my name, you ask the Father for what you need, and I will give it. In my name. You know, you could go, I mean, in all kinds of directions, but I'm not going in that direction. His name declares his nature. I love that statement, and I love that I learned that very early on in my walk. His name declares his nature. Now, our name really is just our name. I mean, there are very few people nowadays that a parent really struggles over the name, and okay, I'm going to name my child this because it means this, and I want them to be this or that or whatever. We just pick a name because we like the name, and so you know, you associate a person with the name, and maybe you don't want to name your child that because that girl in fourth grade you didn't like, and so that's an association. We're not going to do that, you know. But when we say each other's name, we just are thinking about their name, that's all, because we have to call them something. But there is something about a name, and his name declares his nature. Now, back in 1983, and I got saved in 1981, so I was only a Christian for 2 years at that time, Gail Irwin wrote a book called The Jesus Style. And a few years after that, Damien met Gail in person, and they hit it off and kind of had a Paul and Timothy relationship. Damien's this young pastor, and Gail's this seasoned pastor. And so Gail would go, and he would teach the Jesus style. I think reading the book, you're going to get more out of it watching Gail in his teaching. And Gail's on his way to heaven. He's not there yet, but he's on his way to heaven. Wonderful, wonderful man. But the one thing that Gail would say is his name declares his nature, who he is. And there's more in just the name of Jesus. It's so big, it's huge what that name contains. So that, and I don't think I was the only one, when Gail came and spoke probably in 1987 on 10th and F and gave the Jesus style, that it revolutionized our thinking, our lives, because it was Jesus, the Jesus style, the servant king. And I mean, it was just amazing. Can you put the screen on there? If you have not heard Gail, go on his website. You can watch the videos of the Jesus style, or you can listen, but watching Gail is better because he's very animated, and it just, you see his heart and just everything coming out. But jot that down and go on there, and you will have fun, and you will be stunned because of what he brings forth out of the nature of Jesus, out of his name. In Exodus 33 and 34, Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments from God. And during that time, Moses asked God, I want to see your glory. Can I see your glory? And in Exodus 34, 6, it tells us, now the Lord descended in the cloud, and he stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So here's God descending down and in this cloud, and he's proclaiming his name, proclaiming the name of the Lord. And he said, and the Lord passed before him, and he proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So he said, I'm going to proclaim my name, and then he revealed part of his nature to him. He didn't just say, God, or I am, or Almighty. He is describing his nature to Moses and to us. So he wants everyone not to just be aware of his name the way I used it for so long in just saying God, but he wants to know all it holds, all it is about him. Now when people say, oh God, you don't even know what God they're talking about. The little gods, lots of little gods, or the big God, and typically it's all the little tiny gods. God also spoke through the prophet Isaiah about his son Jesus, the Messiah. And he said in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." So here's Jesus, now God saying, call his name Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. It's just like exploding. His name is exploding. Okay, it means God with us. God in human flesh. In Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Okay, so now his name is Emmanuel. It is Wonderful, it's Counselor, it's Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's continually revealing Jesus, who Jesus is, and his nature, or his character, or his attributes. And then in Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel came and appeared to that young girl, Mary, and he said to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." So he's Emmanuel, he's Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Jesus, Jehovah is Salvation. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel appeared to Joseph, whom Mary was betrothed to, in a dream, and told him that Mary would conceive by the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jehovah is Salvation. So he is God with us. He is salvation. He is Wonderful. He is the Counselor. He's Almighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, I have been thinking a lot about the name of Jesus because I've been putting this together and meditating and just thinking about the name of Jesus. But have you, or do you ever think about the name of Jesus? I mean, we just sang 5 songs, and every single song had the name of Jesus in it and also described him in so many different ways. It talked about his character, his nature, because his name reveals his nature. Do you ever think about him in specific ways? Maybe we do during our quiet time. Maybe we just stop and pause and think about the name of Jesus, or think about his name in that specific way. We just think about the Prince of Peace, or we think about Emmanuel, or whatever it might be. Or do you ever address him in different ways depending on your need? Sometimes you just call him Jesus. Sometimes you call him the Great Physician, the Good Shepherd, whatever the need is. He is so big and he is so vast. We have one name. Okay, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm an aunt, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter. I'm a wife, but that's it, I think. I don't know what else I am. But, he is just huge. He's huge. He wants our relationship with him to be intimate. That's what he wants. And I am so thankful that I learned that so early on. I got saved on a Monday night, and Tuesday morning I was in a Bible study, but Wednesday morning I was at ladies' study. And the pastor's wife talked about having a relationship with Jesus all the time. And I needed to know that. I needed to hear that. I was very ignorant. I had no clue about any of it all. And I was also a sponge. I just soaked it all up. And I've learned intimacy with the Lord. It didn't happen all at once. It's just the longer you walk with him and the more you need, and the more he takes us through, the more intimate it becomes. He knows all about us. We know that. We know that. We read Psalm 139, and that tells us he is aware of our goings and our comings, our doings, our thoughts before we think them, and even the number of hairs on our head. And that speaks current. It's current knowledge. It's not just what she did when she was a child, or how many hairs on her head she had when she was a child, and how many she's got, you know, but it's current. Because it always changes. The information always changes because we're going here and there and we're doing all kinds of things. Things in our life change. We go through storms. We go through the desert. We go to the mountaintop. We go by the stream. We go all those places in our Christian lives. And he knows all about them. He is very intimate with us. And he wants us to know him that way. Character, his heart. So when we think about the name of Jesus, we're learning about the name of Jesus. That's how we do it. And we draw closer to him. There's many times for me that during worship, I speak the name of Jesus. I love the name. I just love his name. When I'm in need and I've prayed, and I still need more, I just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just love that. I love that. And more recently, I do that before I go to sleep. I just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I especially do that. I don't know why, but I do that when Damien's not there. Or if I'm gone, or, you know, and he's not there and I'm sleeping alone with my puppies. And, you know, they get in and they're all tucked in and cuddly. And I love my puppies. And I said, isn't it fun to cuddle with your mommy tonight? You keep me warm. And, oh, it's just so nice. And then I just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know. It's just a protection, I guess. It just makes me feel comforting. I just know he's there. He's surrounding us. He loves my puppies too. It's just a comfort. Jesus' name, his name, which is above every name, reveals his nature, who he is. And he is so big, and he is so great, and he is so awesome that he can't just be called one name. There's so many names within that name. There's names, there's titles, characteristics that reveal who he is. And so we want to look at those tonight. So you have a handout there, and we're going to put the first screen up. We're going to go through these. I'm going to talk a little bit, but we're just going to read them and just let them sink in and soak into our hearts and our minds. And as we are doing that, just maybe circle or mark 1, 2, 3, however many of those names of Jesus that really stick out to you tonight, that just kind of like, oh, yes, that's what I need tonight. Just make a little mark, whatever causes you to just say, or just to worship, causes your heart to cry out because of your need, whatever it might be. So the first one, and these are not in any particular order, that was a little way overwhelming. I was getting very overwhelmed to try to categorize and put them all in order and everything, and some of them might be, and others not, and I just... Oh, I guess can't do that kind of thing anymore. I don't think I ever could. First one in John 8:58. I'm not going to read all the verses either. John 8, that's why you have a handout for you to do that later. John 8:58. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus was talking, before Abraham was, I am. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. I am. Jesus, I am. And that means I am the eternal one. So in that name of Jesus, we know he is God and he is the eternal one. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that Jesus is the image of God. Now, some of these are the names that God has given him and called him in his word. Others are titles. Others, the writer has referred to Jesus. John 1:3, he's the creator. We talked about that in one of our Jesus is messages. John 1:1, he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's verse 14. I didn't write that down. That's talking about Jesus. So his name is the Word. His name is also the Word of God. From Revelation 19:13, we see Jesus riding on that white horse. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It's a powerful verse. I mean, they all are. But the Word, we saw in a previous study of Jesus is that he is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. In Isaiah 9:6, he is the mighty God. Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher of our faith. Isaiah 9:6 again, the everlasting Father. Acts 3:14, he is the Holy One. Now that should cause us to worship. He's the Holy One. Lucy and I were talking a few minutes before we began tonight, and we were talking and reminded about the retreat that we had just a few years ago on the holiness of God. And just so that we would have that awareness of who he is, holy. Acts 10:36, that he is the Lord of all. And the word Lord, the lowercase Lord, is master. He's a master over our lives, the ruler. I love that he is my Lord. I don't want to be in charge of my life. I don't want to be in charge of anything anymore. I used to want to be in charge. I don't want to be in charge. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to eat. Tell me when to go and when not to go. That's the point of life I'm at. You know? Ugh. But he is Lord. Jesus, just take me, lead me. What do you want? I'll do it. 1 Corinthians 2:8, he is the Lord of glory. I love that. I love that. Oh, I love that. Matthew 1:1, he's called the Son of David because it was prophesied that he would come through the line of King David. Matthew 2:15, he's the Son of God. We know that. Luke 1:32, he's the Son of the Highest. John 1:18, he's the only begotten Son. Revelation 22:16, he is the root of David. In Haggai 2:7, he is the desire of nations. I love that one. That, and what my favorite all-time Christmas carol is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And the first time, I know I had read Haggai before, but when I learned that, there's a verse that says, O come desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. He's the desire. They don't know it, but that's what all the nations of this world are longing for. the desire of nations. He's the kinsman redeemer. I love that from the book of Ruth. We learn about that redeemer. 1 Peter 1:18-19 speaks of it too. He's the cornerstone. We talked about that, I think it was last month. He's Messiah. Daniel 9:25, when the angel Gabriel came to Daniel and spoke to him that amazing prophecy about the end times when Jesus comes back, he speaks that the Messiah, the Prince, will return. Job 19:25, Redeemer, and I believe, I may be wrong, that is the only place in the Bible where it speaks of Redeemer, when he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Isaiah 53:3, Man of Sorrows. And that's one that just, oh, I mean, that hurts. It's so amazing and sad and wonderful that he is the man of sorrows. And, you know, we're coming up to, in a few weeks or however long it is, Easter, the resurrection time, where we'll be, probably the Lord will bring this to our minds, Isaiah 53, many times. He's the man of sorrows. Hebrews 2:10, the captain of salvation. I love that. I love them all. Romans 11:26, deliverer, and we talked about that last week, or last month also. 1 Corinthians 5:7, our Passover. Revelation 13 and John 1, he's the Lamb of God. John 8:12, he is the light of the world. Joshua 5 and Revelation 19, the commander of the Lord's army. You know, each one of these names and titles, it just, I'm not talking about, oh, touchy-feely, but it gives you this feeling or this sense of what that, I mean, the man of sorrows, it makes you, oh, and the commander of the, you know, my Jesus is the commander, the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Revelation 19, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Did you used to sing that song, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The round, we, you know, I guess we've progressed in church. We don't sing rounds anymore, but I'm thankful that when I was a new Christian, we sang all those kind of, they were like camp songs, but we just loved them, you know, where we could start here and then you'd start there and you'd start there. I don't know, I thought it was fun. He's the King of Ages, 1 Timothy 1. He's the King of the Jews, the King of Saints, the Lord of Righteousness. Oh, don't you love that? The ruler over righteousness, and I can't wait for his righteousness to reign on this earth. Again, in Isaiah 9:6, he's wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. And then Acts 3:15, a Prince of Life. It's only place in the Bible. They speak of Jesus as the Prince of Life. And then John 6:35, actually, not 32, the Bread of Life. That, to me, means something. Because, and that Jesus said that, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said in John, I am the bread of life. And I said I got saved on a Monday night. The next morning, I went to a bread of life study. So it was just like this brand new Christian term that I'd never heard before. What is the bread of life? And what we did is we sat in a circle and had a pile of commentaries in the middle of it, and we feasted on the word of God. It was my first exposure to any of that. I mean, I wasn't even 24 hours old in the Lord. And it's like, this is what it is? Wow, this word? You mean this word doesn't just mean this, it means this, as you're digging in the Greek. I mean, it was just mind-blowing, and I just loved it. So I've always loved that bread of life. I also love, I don't know if you're familiar with second chapter of Acts, I'm really dating myself tonight. They have, I've loved this song. I'm like, why don't we ever do this song in communion? Bread of life, run through me, fill my soul. Bread of life, run through me, make me whole. By your stripes, I am healed. By the thorns you bore, by the pain you suffered, by the blood you poured. I love that song. I sing that song whenever the Lord brings it to my remembrance, or during communion, it means something to me. 1 Peter 5, the chief shepherd, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the shepherd and bishop of souls. And then in 1 John 2, 1, he is our advocate. He's our defense attorney. He pleads. He paid for our sin. He paid that debt. But he pleads for us. He intercedes for us. He's our advocate. He's our great high priest. He's our mediator. He's the true light. He is the true vine. He is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is faithful and true, the faithful witness. I love both of those. He is so faithful, and he is the only one we can look at to see perfection, to see God. We cannot look at other people. We cannot look at other Christians because we are going to fail. We are not perfect. As hard as we might try, we are not perfect. He is. He is the faithful and true, faithful witness. He's the just one. He is the resurrection and life. He is the rock. We looked at that last month. And then these last three, and this isn't even all of them. I had to weed quite a few out. But I like these. We don't refer to them, but again, when I was a brand new Christian, there were songs with these words in them. He's the Rose of Sharon, as it's spoken of in the Song of Solomon, and the lilies of the valley. He is the day spring. He is the morning star. And when I went through this before I got here, I thought, I remember that song. I can't pull it up, though. But we used to sing that song, Morning Star. All of these just leave me in awe. And what I want to do before we go enjoy fellowship is to just take a few minutes and just sit privately and go back through your paper and just the ones that you circled or checked or whatever, just meditate on them. Look up the verse or just talk to the Lord about it. Think about what that means to you and why does that mean to you? Why does that mean something to you at this point in time? It's just nice to meditate, to reflect for a few minutes. So just probably 2 or 3 minutes. Father, we thank you for your Son, for who he is, for what he means to us, for all that he is, Lord. And tonight we just, it was just a little overview, it's just so deep and it's so vast and so wonderful. I thank you that you are the becoming one and you meet our needs and you have provided for us and you protect us and we desire relationship with us. Thank you. Thank you for that name, that powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. And Lord, as we sing these last songs, would you just minister to our hearts in even a greater way? We love you and we thank you.